Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. Short and hot with Chef Family.
Short and hot with Chef Family. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, joining you on Food Radio, broadcasting from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is episode number 37. Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Radio Network. Roberta's Pizza is packed today. There are people waving at us. Sometimes people come up and take pictures through the window. It's a very hoppin' day in Bushwick. I had a very exciting weekend. I learned on Friday that my kid, who you all know is the light of my life, is allergic to peanuts. And the way that I learned this is that I took the pediatrician and the internet's advice and I gave him a small amount of peanut butter, like the size of a chocolate chip. The pediatrician said, a molecule of peanut butter. If he has an allergy, a molecule will be enough exposure and you'll know that he has an allergy. So 1 week apart, I gave him three little chocolate chip-sized bits of peanut butter on the end of my finger, and I thought we were in the clear, and then a couple of weeks went by, and we went to the gym on Friday, brought him home, made myself a peanut butter sandwich on raisin bread, tore it in half, gave him half, and was like, here you go, enjoy it, your first peanut butter sandwich. And he started rubbing his eye, and I was like, that's weird, but he's like kind of allergic to pollen, and so I've been giving him Allegra, but I hadn't given it to him in a couple days. So I was like, yeah, it's probably just the pollen in the air. And he was laughing, and I was standing, I was washing dishes, so he was kind of out of the corner of my eye. And the dog was chasing a housefly around the kitchen. He was cracking up at the dog, and everything was fine. I turn around again, maybe 15 seconds later, and his face looked like a strawberry. Like, his whole face had just gone like, and my thought was, oh my God, he's allergic to peanuts. How is this possible? I know he's been exposed to molecules of peanuts because I eat peanut butter around him. I ate peanut butter while I was pregnant and while I was nursing, and I was convinced it had something to do with maybe like formula or soy or some other exposure, and this kid eats pretty much straight out of the ground. And so I snatched him up, got him to the pediatrician, who gave him some Benadryl. And he said, we're just going to listen and, like, see. He doesn't seem to be in any pain other than that, you know, he can't open his eyes right now. But it's okay. And the doctor was like, he's old and over, like, being a pediatrician. And it's kind of fun going there because he said to me, I know this is very scary for you because it's your first time. It's not very scary for me. I was like, okay. So, like, we're talking about, you know, life and what we had for dinner and what's interesting. And then he goes, shh, shh, shh. Yeah, that's the sound of someone's lungs closing up, so I'm going to go ahead and give him the EpiPen, at which point I start crying, and I'm like, wait, no. They gave him the EpiPen shot, the nurse, who's adorable, and within a minute, he could open his eyes again. And it was like this. It was like the scene in Pulp Fiction when John Travolta gives Uma Thurman the overdose thing in the heart. And so I took him home, and then I didn't sleep for like 24 hours to make sure that he continued breathing for 24 hours straight. And here we are, now a family that is going to be peanut-free and figure out how to deal with that. And on Saturday, we went out to lunch at a Mexican restaurant. It was fantastic, in Kutztown, Pennsylvania, after a trip to the Rodale Institute. And the guy dropped a basket of chips and salsa, and we're eating it and chomping away. And my husband suddenly looks ashen, and he says, we have to be concerned about peanut oil. I was like, oh my God. And like, it was fine. But oh my goodness. Quite a weekend. I aged 5 years, I think, in 48 hours. But we will live to tell the tale, and there will be all sorts of, I'm sure, sharp and hot stories to tell around this new lifestyle. But joining me in the studio, as you hear some chuckles at my traumatic story, I have with me Ashley Turner, who is the founder of Farmbox Direct, and I have Taryn Miller, who's going to chime in during the first segment, but we're going to talk to you primarily in the second segment. You are the voice behind the band that's based in Lawrence, Kansas. Lawrence, Kansas, sorry. I don't know why I write this stuff down. I don't even read it accurately. The band is called Your Friend. So, Ashley, you also have a small daughter, right? A three-year-old.
I do, Harlow.
Harlow. And with Harlow, you started your own company called Farmbox Direct. Tell us about what your company focuses on.
Well, everything we do is USDA organic. She's basically my inspiration behind it. She was like decided she was a vegan from age one on. She's never ate a piece of meat. Drinks almond milk.
Wow.
So she was my inspiration behind it. And at the time, I was a busy working New York City mom, corporate mom, and I didn't have time to get out and find the best organic items. I learned very quickly that all the farmers markets were not organic. So I knew a true need for this service. So I stepped down from the corporate world and started this company.
So what do? It's a delivery service, right?
Right. Everything we do is online-based. It's delivery. We deliver in Manhattan and Brooklyn every Saturday right now.
And do people pick things off of a shopping list, or is it like a CSA where you just get a box?
It's similar to a CSA. I change the weekly menu every week, but you can customize it. You have 5 substitutions weekly, so let's say if you hate the corn that's in the box this week, you can take it out and put tomatoes or something else that you do like.
How much customization do people do?
We usually have about 50 to 60% of people customize it.
So then you get the orders in. How many customers do you have right now?
I have over 1,300 customers.
Oh, wow.
I grew very quickly.
That's amazing. Okay, so do you have like a warehouse where the produce, is it primarily fruits and vegetables?
Yes, so we also have like eggs, we do milk.
Raw milk?
Well, I do the closest thing to raw milk. There's the state line issue of getting it across the state line. So we do the closest thing to raw milk. That's the lowest pasteurization that you can have. And we do, you know, all organic USDA free range eggs. And we're also starting to move into like soy milk. I'm starting to move into like granolas, things like that. And now I'm going to focus on juice, too.
Right. So you have this exciting new project, which is you're going to make cold-pressed juices and infused waters, right?
Right.
How did you... So as someone who works for myself, I work for myself, and I have... people say, what do you do? And I say, how much time do you have in order for me to, like, go through the things that I do?
Right.
So you... left the corporate world. What was the nature of your corporate position?
I was a business manager for a fashion designer.
So you had the business brain, and you decided to take that knowledge that you already had and apply it to this delivery, organic delivery service. So at what point did you feel like that was humming along successfully enough that you were like, you know what? I'm going to add another element to this. Because I do that and my husband rolls his eyes. Like, I'm going to do the first level of the master sommelier.
No, you know, because I'm crazy. Like, I learned with the fashion designer, you know, I dealt with, you know, Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. And I took on, I made 2 different labels instead of just one. You know, it usually takes people 10 years. I did 2 at one time and people thought I was insane. So now going on and doing this, it just came to me one day. The benefits of, like, cold-pressed juicing and... I'm doing subscription based of it, and I've been very, very fortunate to partner with Guilt City. And
oh, cool.
So, working with them to launch the new juice line. And so I just basically just decided, I literally woke up one day and I'm like, I'm doing this. And I called like my head of PR and I'm like, by the way, I'm doing this.
So how much help do you have? Like, how do you manage? Because I get these questions a lot. Like, I think there's a perception that I have this leisurely writer's life and I live on a farm.
Right. No.
So I want to know, tell me the underbelly. What's the real life?
So I like really when I, you know, I stepped down from my corporate position where I worked 16, 18 hour days all the time. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do something where I like step back and, you know, have more time. And so I do have an office I built into my home so I can see my daughter a little more. But it's, you know, now it's like my own baby here. So I've taken on a whole nother. So I wear many, many hats. I mean, I have my workers at my warehouse that help me pack things. You know, now we're doing the juicing that's getting ready to launch. So, you know, I do have some employees. I have a girl for PR, but I'm now, instead of when I was in the fashion world, I did about 5 different positions. I'm now doing about 25 different positions.
I think that's a misconception. Like you pursue this life that you're like, this is what I really want to do. For me, it was teach people how to cook. Thinking that that was somehow going to streamline everything for me. In fact, it becomes like the head of a spoke, you know, like instead of like
being just like a linear job. Now it's suddenly like, no, I'm the center, and then there's all these other spokes.
And then all of a sudden, like, you realize too, like, hey, I have a 3-year-old child, so I have the most important job in the world as a mother. Yeah. So like, I'm trying to do that. And then, you know, my business did take off very quickly. You know, I had like hedge funds reaching out to me very, very soon. And so you don't want to miss those opportunities. So I've just, there's a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah.
I'm up at 4 in the morning easily every day.
Can I ask you, do you drink wine? Or because for me, I've found that I have to like schedule days that I'm allowed to have a glass
schedule.
Of wine.
I schedule now. Yeah. Right.
It's crazy. Like, and it's like
I have a boyfriend now, but it's like, I say that I'm married to like Farm Box Direct and now Farm Box Juice. I'm married. So then I like have an affair on my company with my boyfriend now, because you have to schedule, you know, like a date night or when I'm going to have like a couple glasses of wine, because I've got to be up at 4 and my daughter gets up and I want to get her ready for school and out the door. And
I have found myself looking forward to him starting preschool, because when he was much littler, I could put him like in his thing and he would be like in his little bouncy seat and he would be perfectly content and play, and I could like write in 15-minute increments and like do whatever. Now that he's almost two, he's 20 months, he's like constant need for my attention.
Well, wait till he gets 3.
Oh, I know. And I'm waiting for like when it's going to get easier. And everyone's like, no, that never happens. Right. That really never happens.
And I just went through the whole preschool thing, because I live on the Upper West Side in New York. And I went through the whole preschool of, it's basically like I'm trying to get myself into Harvard, you know, like interviewing for her to get into preschool, which thank God she got into one. I'm very excited for when she starts preschool. Yeah. I'm very, very, very excited.
So we share that. We share that desire. I mean, part of why I go to the gym, and this is sort of a segue into, because I wanted, you brought,
well, you're
some
very
of
lucky
your,
you have the time to go to the gym.
I have the time to go to the gym because they have built in babysitting, and it means that I have an hour off to just like focus on my own brain. And so I do have time because I have forced myself to make time, and it also allows James to go and get socialized with other kids. But I've joked on the show, I think it was my New Year's resolution that I wanted to become someone who needed to go to the gym. And it's happening. Like, it's really happening. And the older I get and the more gray hair I get and the more stressed, like the peanut thing and the other, you know, just life happening, the more I'm like, I really need to take care of myself, which is why I was curious about your wine drinking, because for me, it's like, I realize I can't just, I'm not 25 anymore.
No, exactly.
Okay, so tell me about these infused waters that you brought. The audience can't see them, so describe them, because they are really visually stunning.
They're gorgeous. So basically, one of them, they're both sparkling water, and they have,
does the water come from a special place?
Well,
is it like harvested by virgins from a waterfall in Fiji?
That's exactly where it's coming from virgins from Fiji. I don't know how you knew that, but that's exactly where it's coming from.
I do my
from.
Research.
By looking at it. The one of them has mint, and everything's organic. So like all the fruit that I put into it, and blackberries. And that one, I think, is by far my best creation this far. And then the other one has ginger, because if you read my blog, like, I'm obsessed with ginger, like ginger into everything. Like, my workers, like, the juicy now, like, I put ginger into everything and they're like, you have to calm it down with this ginger, like, it's too spicy. And I'm like, no, this is amazing. But they're like, no, nobody's gonna want to drink this. So but these are the two that I brought today, and I think I'm gonna do kind of like some teas as well, like do like a jasmine tea that's like infused with like chunks of ginger, or like a green tea that has actual pieces of like blueberry or mint into it. Because, you know, when you go to, like, even, like, a convenience store, if you go to Whole Foods, whatever it may be, you don't see anything like this. So, anyways, people can't see it, but it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's beautiful because, let me grab one. The fruit is whole, and the mint leaves are whole, and the ginger is in, like, perfect sugar cube-sized cubes. How, do you know what the shelf life will be on these?
So the shelf life on those would be about, because they're like, they're preserved, right? They're in water a little bit. So we're looking at about 10 to 15 days.
Okay.
And I'm doing everything like in mason jars. So these are just like my little test plastic bottles. Oh, but I'm doing everything in classic like mason jars to go with the whole farm box fill.
And will people be able to return the mason jar for like, you know, It's like a Coke can or whatever.
Yeah, they can return. Yeah. I know. I'm going to have like 50 million returns of mason jars. I know. Right. I'm already preparing for that at my warehouse. But yes, you can return the mason jars. Or people can keep it for canning on their own.
Right. Okay, wait. I'm going to give it a taste. All right. It smells refreshing. It smells summery. It smells like sitting on the beach.
I love the beach. I don't know if either one of us has visited the beach here lately, so.
No, I haven't been to the beach lately. Oh,
so you should drink and then it'll remind you of being at the beach.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like picnicky. Like, it doesn't have any citrus element, but there's something picnicky and light and refreshing, and it just like, maybe it's because you sat down on a chair and you said, I love this rainbow chair cover. I said, I know, it's like a beach blanket. I just have going to the beach on the brain. Let me try the ginger one. So is this what they would say is too spicy, or is this mellow?
No, that one's, I didn't slice the ginger, it's just cubed. So if you slice it sideways, that's how you get a lot of, like the fermented of the ginger out.
Delightful. Yeah, I like the blueberry, the blackberry and mint one. But this, I mean, ginger, tell us about the health benefits of ginger that you...
Well, it's great for like detoxing. Ginger's, you know, they've used for... eons for detoxing the body, and so I think
there goes that wine.
just chase it,
right? Yeah, I'll just like have a glass of wine and a ginger.
Mint is always good, you know. If you're sick, of course, you want like a cup of tea with mint and honey. So
this is awesome, Ashley. Thank you so much for coming to Sharp and Hot. Believe it or not, we are 15 minutes. You're like, I just go so fast. So tell people how they can find out more about you. What are your social media handles and your website?
So my Twitter is Farmbox Direct, and the company is farmboxdirect.com. And then in a month and a half, I'll be launching Farmbox Juice with Guilt City.
Excellent. Awesome. And you have a big meeting coming up with some hopefully potential.
I can't announce who, but I do. Next Friday, I have a huge meeting with a major bottling distribution company to bottle the juice and the tea and the water.
Awesome. I see a lot of success in your future. You'll have to come back and tell us.
I will. In a couple of months how it worked out.
Thank you so much. We will be back after the break with Taryn Miller from Your Friend.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to Sharp and Hot, everyone. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, joining you on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, broadcasting live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. For the second half of the show, we have the voice that you were just hearing right before the advertisement, Taryn Miller.
Hi.
Hi. Lawrence, Kansas-based musician behind the band Your Friend. So tell me, you said earlier, I said, how, do you want me to describe you as the lead singer? And you said, well, it's a project I started solo. So tell me about this project and what is Your Friend and how did it come to be?
Well, I had come up to Lawrence to go to school at the time, and I had kind of put music on the back burner at that point. It was like a hobby, but I was doing linguistics and really busy, and there was just a weekend that I got that itch, you know. I was like, I need to do this again. I just need to play a show. Like, I just need to play somewhere, anywhere. And a friend of mine was having a house show with some musicians from Chicago, and I just kind of asked. I was like, is there any room, you know, if I could play like a couple songs, you know, just sneak in there? And they were like, absolutely, come down, play some songs. And I wrote one of the songs that ended up on the EP like hours before that show, and I played a couple songs there, and the response was overwhelmingly positive. Everyone was so nice and supportive. And then I was asked to play a pretty big show for my first debut show, you know, in Lawrence. And it was with Mount Erie. Phil Elverum of Mount Erie was coming through. And I had a friend, Jordan Geiger, that ended up producing the EP, that knew that I loved this guy and had totally been following his music forever. And he was like, do you just want to open that show? And I mean, what else could I say?
Oh, that's so exciting.
So it was such a cool thing to happen. And so I was playing solo at the time. I just got up on this stage, you know, and like looped stuff and did all myself. And then over time it began to grow. And the drummer that I have with me now, Nicholas Stahl, he's been with me from like very early on. And we played it as a two piece for a while, because it got to the point where I would play bars and I was so quiet, you know. And so I was like, well, I just need, you know, I need a drummer or something, like be loud and play louder. And it was more, I mean, it gave me more room to like work too. And it was really fun just to play with other people. That's my favorite part too. Like, playing live is something that I love anyway on its own. But when you're interacting with more people, it's so much more fun. And so that it grew from a two piece to now we're at a four piece. And that's what I've been playing with so far, and it's been great and really fun.
That's awesome. And you're on tour, which is what brings you out of
Kansas
to Brooklyn. But you said back in Kansas, you have a real job that you are still, you know.
Yeah.
And like I asked Ashley before the break, like, there's this idea that you're a musician on tour. Like, I, you know, I imagine a big bus. I imagine single color of M&Ms, you know.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
So what's your real job?
It's funny, you say real job, yeah, you know, but I work at a record store, you know. Oh, it's like the coolest job ever. It's like, yeah, I'm, you know, back home, a full-time job, slinging records, playing awesome music all day. So yeah, that's what I mean, things have definitely slowed down now that's my only other thing. It's like, okay, I go to this job and then I go play shows and I do all that stuff. But when I was in school, it was really insane. Like, just actually talking about like, oh, I have to go here and here and here. And I was taking like 18 credit hours and like going to show, like playing a show at night and then going to work. And that was a really insane part. But now I feel like it's like slowed down. I'm trying to find like a rhythm. I just moved into a new apartment right before I left for tour. So it's like coming back and just settling in, getting grounded. But yeah, I get to listen to music all day and share it with other people that haven't heard it. You know, and that's my favorite part. It's just like having this huge discography of like everything to work with, and I could do it all day, and I do. People
That's
come in and just
awesome.
Pull a bunch of
yeah.
stuff for them.
So tell me about Lawrence, Kansas. I have to confess that I don't know anything about it. So paint me a picture. It sounds like a cool place.
Yeah, it's really funny that you talked about the video, because that's like been the joke. They're like, this is such a Lawrence video. Like, all the comments on it, like, Lawrence, totally Lawrence, like looking at every shot and scene. I mean, I feel
you
like...
You want to know something funny? When I watched it, I was like, oh, that's totally Brooklyn.
Oh, so then that was, and that's Lawrence, you know, and that's like the closest thing. And just less people, it feels like, you know, a lot of the time, but really strong, like, arts community, music scene. I love the coffee shops, the restaurants, the business owners. It's a really great small town that is so tight-knit. Like, I feel like you know everyone, and everyone, you can see everyone at the same events. It's like supporting this friend, and now I'm going to go support this friend. There's always something happening. I really like the energy there. It's really cool. But there's not a lot of, you know, it's a lot of pasture, you know, like when you're driving there and driving away from it. But no, that town is definitely, I feel, completely different from the entire area of Kansas, because I grew up in Winfield, actually, which was about 2.5 hours south of there, and which is a tiny town. And the only thing that it's really known for is that Bluegrass Festival. But I mean, it triples our population every year. It's insane. Right.
The Sturgis of music.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
Right. And you and Jack, the engineer of the show,
right.
have a
so
mutual
wild.
Friend. I mean, it just seems like it's got to be this kind of mecca of music and interesting people doing... When you are in a place that's not $3,000 a month in rent, I'm guessing.
Right,
like
exactly.
You have the freedom to pursue these sort of artistic endeavors. What's your favorite restaurant in town?
Oh, that's tough. Oh, it'd be hard to say because then I'd have to hear about it when I got back.
Right,
no?
Okay, what's...
But for different things. I mean, right. like 715 is like the nice restaurant. You know, I love it. And they offer gluten-free fusilli so I can go get the pasta there. And then... Burger Stand is always a good choice. You know, it's like I'm in this, like, on Mass Street. So that's where Love Garden's located. And we joke about how we stay within this radius. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to this restaurant today, and then I'll go to this place tomorrow. You know,
right.
and, like, and I don't leave that block.
Right.
The same people see me every day. And, Burger Stand's great. They have gluten-free options, too, and they make all of their own sauces. So it's just, like...
That's
stock
awesome.
Up on them. It's really great.
I'm going to make my own ketchup this year when the tomatoes
nice.
Come in because I'm like, I still eat... Ketchup's been like one of the holdouts of things that I don't make myself. And
yeah.
Like, every time I eat Heinz ketchup, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna work
this
on...
This ends now.
Right? Yeah. It ends with this year's tomato harvest.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. How do you balance being... gluten-free and being on tour, like, is it
and
hard?
That was where, I mean, I was going with, like, the questions I could ask, you know, were endless, because this is my first tour. This is the longest I've been away from Lawrence, honestly, and since I moved there. And
oh, wow.
It's only going to be 2 weeks, which is insane, you know, but the tour photographer that we have on the road, too, with us, she is, too, and so we, like, kind of pair up, and we, like, we found a couple of groceries around here, and it looks so hilarious, because I've, like, got this loaf of bread in my backpack, and we have, like, this, like, sun-dried tomato pesto and like all this stuff, and we're just shoving it in our mouths while we're walking down the street, and it looks hilarious. But I mean that's really the clutch thing, is having a grocery store that has what you need. Otherwise it's really hard. But up here it's been amazing, like just typing in, you know, in the search bar, and then you can pull up all these restaurants that have amazing options. I ate at Waffle and Wolf yesterday.
Oh wow.
Just like giant gluten-free waffle, like with, I mean, pulled pork in it, and like it was I never thought those combinations made sense until yesterday. It was awesome. So
my
good.
Husband for Mother's Day last year made me bacon waffles with bacon right in the waffles.
There was one of those two that
it's
I had
really good.
So good.
And then somebody sent me a picture. I have I love Scrapple. Are you mm-hmm. familiar with Scrapple? It's like it's sort of in the same family as a hot dog or bologna, but instead of
right up my alley.
Instead of being in a tube form, it's in a loaf. They bake it in a loaf pan, and then you slice the loaf pieces off, and then you fry it in butter. And it's delicious.
Whoa, okay.
And it's made of pork, odd bits and things. And it
that you don't want to know about?
Well, it's, you know, it's one of those things, like, do you want to know how it's
right,
made? Because
exactly.
they'll tell you.
They will.
But I saw someone took a hunk of Scrapple and put that right into a waffle iron. No waffle batter, just a Scrapple waffle. I was
what?
Like, I need to go there.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
So how long have you been gluten-free? Like, how did you...
It's been, like, almost 6 or 7 years now, I think. How it happened is it seemed almost as if I had induced it from what the doctors were saying. They're like, oh, this is probably something you had inherently, like, early. But... I went through like this phase, like as I was getting like into high school, and I was just like eating tons of cereal and bread mm-hmm. and give me that, you know, but it was so weird how it changed. Like, and they say like this becomes a symptom of it too, is like you are at bottomless pit. You just like can eat all of the bread in the world, or you
yeah.
know, these things, you know, and it was crazy. I remember eating like a loaf of bread, like the loaves of bread that they bring out in restaurants, like to slice up between the whole table. And I was like, oh, it's cool. I'll just eat this, you know?
I can do that whole thing. No
and
problem.
And I started getting really sick and like so tired, sleeping all the time. And just like mentally, that's what the first change when I stopped eating, it was like feeling clear headed again and not like, I mean, and you can tell, like, I've heard stories of friends that were and didn't know that were on tour or something. And just being so irritable and like not like, coherent, yeah, because they're just like, I don't know how it does it to you, but it does. And that was the first thing that I noticed when I stopped eating it, and not being tired. But since then, like, it's definitely gotten to the point where, like, I had a rash that I still have for like 2 years now on my back, and If I get traces of it now, like, I'll break out and I get really sick. Like,
yeah. So it's serious. Yeah. It's serious. How do you, I mean, and it wouldn't be something like, so now that James has this peanut situation, I'm like, it's only 3 days old. And I'm like, how do you, like, could you desensitize yourself to it? Or there, it's just like, this is it.
I've heard you can. And I think maybe if it was something that I really wanted to do and put myself through it, I could do it. But, I mean, everyone's being so accommodating lately. I've noticed, you know, like, it's popping up everywhere. I'm like, oh, well, thanks for not, you know, putting me through this. I can just, you know, have these options. But, and it's really hard to tell, like, what all it is, because they've said that there's, like, certain things in wheat that you can be allergic to that's not completely wheat or not completely gluten. So I just go with the method of, well, it makes me feel better to not eat it, so I won't.
That is a good philosophy for life, in fact. That's sort of how I live my life. Like, you know what? I feel better without that in my life.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing. You know what? I don't need to describe it any more than that to myself. Yeah. So how do people find out? You're playing nearby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So give us, how can people go and listen to your music live?
There are tons of videos up under your friend, and it helps, I think, to type in Taryn Miller or something like that, because, you know, you type, I mean, that was the joke too, like Googling like band names, like real estate, and then it pulls up like real estate photos, you know, like not the band. And so it's like your friend, and then you get a bunch of weird, like, stickers or something. But, the website is yourfriendtaryn.com, and then that's the same handle for my Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook page and all that. So,
and you've gotten incredible press. People have compared you to Feist.
I can't believe that.
That's amazing.
It's insane.
It's really awesome. And you have an incredibly calm energy. You seem like someone who is fit and designed for success. And I think that you're really... I'm really excited to watch your career trajectory, because you, your voice is beautiful. Your music is very haunting, and I love to listen. I've been listening to it since I got the record, and I just really, really like it. So, let's see. You're playing in Brooklyn tonight?
At like a barbecue. So it's one of the band members that plays with me. He has a house that he used to live at that we're just having like kind of a little friend get together tonight. But we're playing at Baby's All Right tomorrow night. I think like around 8 o'clock, but I'm excited for that show, getting to play with Kevin Morby and Frankie Cosmos and Porches. That's going to be a really fun show.
Awesome. Well, I will put up a link on sharpandhot.com, and you can also go to yourfriendtaryn.com. On next week's show, we have Kate Payne from The Hip Girls Guide and Andre Mack from Mouton Noir Wines, and the author of the new book, Small Time Cooks, Culinary Coloring and Activity Book. Wow. I want to thank both of my guests for coming on today. I truly appreciate your coming all the way from Kansas and stopping by the Heritage Radio Network studios. I am Chef Emily Peterson, your host. You can find me on Twitter at Chef Emily P. Any recommendations for dealing with peanut allergies, send them my way. Yeah. Keep playing with fire and knives, everybody.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.